We're certainly appreciative of your presence this evening. I know that you were fully filled spiritually this morning in our service, as I was. Brother Parker Henderson is a rather unique person, certainly a unique minister. And those of us who have known him for 40 or 50 years have come to appreciate him immensely, and those of you who have just met him recently will come to appreciate him as well. It was good to have had him this morning in our services. The idea of new life, the idea of newness, is a reoccurring theme in the New Testament. Jesus spoke of a new commandment. Apostle Paul spoke of a new life. And we want to talk about that sense of newness tonight. We're about to close out a year, and that year is 2007 at my last count. So the next one will be 2008. It's an opportunity to turn the page in your book of life. It's an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. It's an opportunity to sense the opportunity to change, to renew yourself, to experience the newness of life. Perhaps you remember the first time you bought a new automobile or just a used automobile, and you sat in it and you caught the aroma, particularly if it was new. And you said to yourself, boy, I'd like to keep that aroma forever. And so you worked at it very hard. You fussed at the family members for messing in the car. You fussed at the dealership because he didn't correctly keep the water from leaking into the car and leaving a moldy, smelly odor, messing up that great new aroma. Maybe you remember the first rain of springtime and that smell of newness. How refreshing and how invigorating. And so it is with the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul spoke of that newness of life in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 when he wrote, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Maybe you remember when you were first baptized, how exhilarating and motivating it was to you. You were ready to take on Satan and all his angels in one fall swoop. You had new aims, new purposes of life. You were ready to walk in newness of life. And so as the old year comes to a close and memory becomes but a shadow of the real thing, we get to turn a new page in the book of life. Its number is 2008. At the end of that year, it will contain all that we have said and done. Our prayer is that this page will reflect a newness in Christ Jesus. I want to spend the next 15 minutes talking to you about four characteristics of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. Number one, it is a new focus. I'm not sure what you've been focusing on in 2007. I know that there was an emphasis in your life. There had to have been. Most of your time was spent doing whatever you focused on. In the Hebrew letter, chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul is challenging us here to focus on Jesus, to look to him for guidance, for direction, for changes that we need to make in our lives. He's challenging us not to look neither to the right nor to the left, and certainly not behind, but to look forward to Jesus the Christ. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I remember when my grandfather and my father were farming in Ohio. And I was probably 7 or 8 when I began to realize what was happening around me. And I watched my father and my grandfather work in the fields with the cultivators, the plow, the planters. And my grandfather especially was a sticker on being sure that the rows were straight. He said, "They've got to be straight. If they're not straight, it won't work." I'm not sure what wouldn't work if they weren't straight. But he said, "You have to look down the line at a point at the other end and go for it. Focus on it. Eyeball it." One of the characteristics of the new life is focus on Jesus. It's a new focus, perhaps, for some of us. We look ahead to Jesus in our walk of faith. He is the perfect example for us to follow. And so we focus upon Him. We look to Him for guidance and direction. He is our pioneer. He is our intercessor. He is the forager. He is the one who goes ahead and leaves a trail for us to follow. But we must look unto Him who is our author and finisher of our faith. And so a new focus, new attention, new direction. And then secondly, this new life consists of a new purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Paul is encouraging us here not to flip-flop, not to be wishy-washy, not to be tossed to and fro by the wind and the currents of life, but to be straightforward, to have a definite purpose, and to be challenged by that purpose. Our purpose in life, of course, moves from self-centeredness to serving Christ our Lord. Our purpose is to run the race of life and finish the course. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the writer said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What's your purpose in life? What purpose do we possess? What choices do we have? What purpose are we living for? What's our reason for being here? What we do tomorrow will reflect our real purpose. To whom and for whom do we serve? To whom and for whom we belong? Is it God? Or is it His counter-agent, Satan himself? And so we're faced with a new purpose, a renewed purpose, a reflection of that which is true and holy and good and great and wonderful. It has new meaning, this new purpose. It challenges us to give of our very self 100%. Thus, a new purpose is a characteristic of the new life. But then thirdly, as we mentioned in the opening remark of our lesson tonight, Jesus spoke of a new commandment. I remember reading some years ago about an interview. A gentleman, a newspaper reporter, was questioning a church leader somewhere in our world, and he said, "Sir, how many commandments are there?" And he said, "Well, there are 10. "Yes, are you sure? Aren't there 11? He said, "I've never heard of it." Well, he said, "Jesus said, I give you a new commandment." And that was said years after the 10 commandments were given. Yes, there are 11 commandments. Jesus gave the 11th. He said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." And Charlie, there's not much I can say about love. That Parker didn't say this morning. But in John 13:34, Jesus did say, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another." And then he went on to say, "That the world may believe that I have sent you." Love is one of the great characteristics of discipleship. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." As we turn the pages of the New Testament, reflectively we're concerned about the subject of love. And God deals with it forthwith as He inspires the writers of the New Testament. For example, in 1 John chapter 4, John speaks of love in no uncertain language. He says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, as we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." And all of this relationship that we have with God is bounded by love, by the expression and the pouring out of the characteristics of love. We need to renew that love for each other. We need to renew that love for God, for His testimonies, for His written word, for His power to perform in our lives, for His great blessings that He gives to those who love and are loved. John went on to say, "Beloved, let us love one another, for our love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." What we're saying to you tonight is that this newness of life is reflected in the renewing of the new commandment by Jesus. Remember, He said, "Love each other as I have loved you." And that's a big order. And then finally, this new life is characterized by a new goal or a new aim. Now, it may not be new at all to you. It may simply be a refreshing of that aim, a renewal of that goal. Or again, it may be a different goal, a change necessary in your life. You've been aiming at the wrong goal. Paul said in the Philippian letter, chapter 3, verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Sometimes We have goals that are foolish and inept, unnecessary, ridiculous. Like the man who bowled a perfect score. What's a perfect score in bowling? 300? So we had captivated or captured on the tombstone, bowled 300, and the year in which he did it, the date in which he did it. I don't want anything like that on my tombstone. Do you? Some mark that is characteristic of our purpose and function in life. An aim that will accomplish our purpose and become our goal. Let us not be like the archer who shot his arrow into the air and missed it. We need to be aware of our aim and our goal and our purpose and our function in life. The newness of life is a recurring theme throughout the pages of the New Testament in one order or another. In one expressive writing, we find the concept of newness. And usually at the end of a year, we have a time of reflection and we look back as we look forward. And we make adjustments in terms of newness. And I challenge you tonight that you take a look at your goal. Is it what it ought to be, or does it need to be refreshed, renewed, or even changed? Take a look at your life tonight and see if you have indeed been practicing the new commandment. If not, elect it in your life for newness in the year 2008. Refresh, renew the new commandment of loving one another. And then there's the new purpose. Don't be tossed to and fro by every movement of life. But hold yourself steady. Be on guard. Be challenged by a purpose that is fulfilling. And that brings us to a newness of focus. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the challenge that He gave us to follow Him and to be like Him. If you need to redress your life and refresh it with obedience to the gospel of Christ, we certainly challenge you to repent, to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, to be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of those sins. We pray that you will respond to that invitation right now as we stand and as we sing.